Welcome to Imperfect Momming. Our children are constantly looking to us for examples. The term role model doesn't quite cut it here. We are shaping their worldview with every move we make. You see, it's not in the lectures we give or moments where we are actively attempting to teach them. It's in the micro movements we make, the unconscious ways in which we navigate life. We are constantly teaching our children how to show up for themselves, their friends, their future partners, and even their future children. So what can we do to ensure we are raising thoughtful, compassionate, self-aware human beings? We have to become them ourselves. No one is perfect, but we can still all be better, and it starts with self-healing. Let's get to it. Welcome back to Imperfect Momming, and we have a very special guest today, Clarissa Hidalgo. Welcome to Imperfect Momming.
Thank you. It is a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Hi, so my name is Clarissa, and I am the founder of Multiple Sclerosis Mamas. So Multiple Sclerosis Mamas, we're a little bit of everywhere. We are online, obviously we're a Facebook private group, over 1,000 mamas strong. We all have MS, either doggy mama, auntie mama, baby mama, doesn't matter. If you're a woman with multiple sclerosis, we welcome you into that private group, of course. And that group is crazy with content constantly, but we have a Clubhouse. We have an Instagram platform. We have a Facebook page you can follow us on. And we have a wellness program too, but more about that later. So Multiple Sclerosis Mamas, it was founded out of a need. So I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis when I was 19 years old, way before I was a mama, right?
Right.
So I'm a mama to two beautiful girls now. But before all of that, when I was just 19, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and it was something. It was a lot to deal with when I was a sophomore in college. I had to do my whole struggle and find what was right for me. And through my struggle, I really realized there needs to always be more resources for things out there, of course. But I also realized, wow, I'm pregnant now. I'm going through this. I'm not getting the support you're told a lot of times you should be getting as a mom, or you should be getting a congratulations, when you get pregnant and stuff. My spouse and I had been together since we were 16. We weren't married though. And we were in grad school, life was happening. And I was like, man, how am I going to do this? This is the first one. So I'm like, how am I going to do this? I took a leave off grad school. I focused on myself. I focused on yoga, on self-care, on doing the really good things and giving the good things to my baby that I knew I needed to do. So I did that. And then after that, I kind of had the baby. I did the parenting thing. And then lo and behold, 4 years later, I'm pregnant again. And it wasn't planned again, but it happened. And it was during quarantine this time. And it was, so many other things going on. We're talking 2020, we're talking so many different changes, and I've got a 5-year-old now. So there's a whole lot going on for me. And I'm just thinking to myself, man, when I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, I was going through the walking difficulties, the speech difficulties, the numbness, all of these other difficulties, totally separate from being a mama. But then now there was all these, I had the child and I had the other child coming on, and I'm like, man, I can't imagine going through all of this with no resources, with no help. I mean, by this time I had found the MS Society, I had found my resources, I had given the support that I needed to myself, but I was like, man, I remember this exact thought. I remember turning to my spouse and saying, Can you imagine what it's like to be a mama just diagnosed with multiple sclerosis right now? You're pregnant, you're stuck at home, there's no resources, and there's just so much going on that you don't even want to start with. Yeah. And so, like, right in that instance, multiple sclerosis mamas was born. And it was born out of the need that I had, but the need that I knew so many other women had too. And that was the thing that was very important to me, is that there were all of these other people going through all of these other difficulties, stuck at home, you know, doing their own thing. And so I decided to form a group, and I started the group, and I just started kind of spreading the word and in little groups to my friends, inviting people. And it just kind of grew. And I remember hitting my 50, and I was like, oh, you know, and I remember 100, and I remember 500, and this group, like, it kind of just does its own thing now. It kind of just, you know, grows with recommendations, with other women, with things like this, of course, podcasting. And it's a resource for everyone, because it's a free resource. It's a private Facebook group that's just for women, of course, with MS. But it's so much more, because as mamas, we know that we need support, and more than ever during this quarantine, right? And so we've got that supportive, just specialized atmosphere there. And so you can always go to that group, Multiple Sclerosis Mamas. You can always find that, and it's free. There's audition, you know, on the weekly there. Girls are like, hey, should I get pregnant? Hey, I got IVF and this and that. You know, whatever it is that's going on, like, we're always talking about it. We're always giving the free resources that need to be put out there. But then we have our wellness program on the side. And it's so funny that it came to a wellness program, because it just started kind of like as a support group, right? It came to a wellness program because I started asking questions to my women. I started just asking things like, what are your daily struggles? What do you need to talk about? What is the most important thing in your life to your children and your family? You know, I started asking these questions, and the girls just started responding. They started responding, 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 responding. And it was built on the fact that I knew there was this need, right? We knew there was this response. So when they started responding, I started, you know, Google is like, you know, Google's everything. So, you know, we put it all in Google Forms, and we saw the statistics, and we're like, man, 85% of my mamas suffer with fatigue. Lo and behold, 80% of individuals with multiple sclerosis suffer with fatigue, is what we find from the national statistics as well, and probably the world statistics, really. So we started building. Comes along with fatigue. Well, maybe you're not doing some self-care. Well, maybe. And so we designed this entire program with step-by-step modules. Based on what the girls need, we rank them in order of what the girls wanted. And I'm a yoga instructor myself, you know. So I incorporated the yoga. I incorporated the birth talks as a birth doula myself. I incorporated just the, hey girl, we get you, you know, as a mama of two, as an individual having lived with MS for 10 years already. Over 10 years, we just decided we need to have all these conversations. We need to design some workbooks around this. We need to do some implementation and some skill development around it as well. And so that program was born on the side. And we have that going on. But we're not going to stop there, you know, because we have, we're talking about retreats already. We're talking about branding and, you know, clothing and logos and stuff like that. So there's just so much going on. And it's important for my mamas to always know that they have these great resources. Always free, always this group of over 1,000 women with some of the same struggles at the same time going through it. So I always welcome our mamas, you know, whether you're interested in the wellness program, always here. Our clubhouse is always here as well. Like, we need to be more active on there, first of all, because we're like 80 members strong on Clubhouse. And I'm like, I don't know. I just like threw this out there. So obviously this is a need. And I found this because this was my need. This is what I needed way back when. I needed a mama to put her arm around me and say, I get it. I understand. I went through that too. And so many of us, especially, like I said, during this quarantine time, we forget that we're going through this struggle. We're going through this together. Even though we feel like a very separated piece, we're actually very cohesive and collective. And we're meant to do that as humans. We're meant to kind of build that bond. So I feel honored and I feel grateful to be able to have facilitated the different responses from my population that I have already.
I think there's two things that stand out to me about you. And the first thing is your passion, obviously, for, you know, helping the moms that share this journey with you, but also the support. And that's something that you and I coach, because moms need support. And like, that was my journey, where it's like, I'm in this pit of despair and I feel so alone. And you know, I personally never thought about going to Facebook to look for support. But now that's kind of more my world, like I don't just sit in despair anymore. I find solutions. I look for solutions. I find solutions. And so I've joined, you know, quite a few Facebook groups for that support system. And it's such a great resource that I don't think a lot of people take advantage of, or when they do, it's just not the right fit. The first group they find is not the right fit. And so then
they give up.
And, you know, there's one group that I'm in. I reference it a couple of times. I never say the name. It is so negative. But I want so bad to go in there.
Isn't that crazy that they, in every community, doesn't matter what you're going into a Facebook group for, there's like negative Nellies everywhere.
Yeah. And this mom group has so many women in it. And it's negative because this person doesn't agree with this person. And so posted in this group, and I know what I did wrong inside creating the post. I didn't give all the information, and so there started to be some attacking. So I changed the wording, but it's like, I've studied this stuff. I've studied it. Like, I understand why the communication broke down and why there was the attacking, but not everybody does that. And so they just feel shame. They just feel like they're wrong. And
like, mom shaming is real. It is all the way real. And it doesn't matter if you are a mama with multiple sclerosis, it doesn't matter what it is, but you will hear, well, what I did was, and it's important. And it's a great feeling to be seen, I think. Mm-hmm. But there's a time and a place. Right. I agree.
Yeah. So what is a piece of advice that you want to share with moms? And it could be specifically with moms who have, you know, a diagnosis of some kind, because obviously not everyone listening has.
Right.
I always.
Just say MS.
I always confuse muscular dystrophy with MS. Just because I've had more experience in my life with someone who has that. But, and I can't say multiple sclerosis.
It's hard. I know.
It's hard. Specifically with people who have a diagnosis and, or in general, like, is there something that you want to give an advice for moms?
So I'm going to give, two pieces of advice, and they're actually like pretty related. And I'm going to give two because they're both very important. And I don't think you can really have one without the other. One is just breathe. There's so many things in life where we lose our breath, and which equals losing control. As you know, I know I didn't say my qualifications at the beginning, but I am a registered birth doula. I'm a birth doula. I'm a registered yoga teacher. I am a multiple sclerosis self-help group leader through the MS Society. I am, you know, I've got a couple different certifications. The best one is the MAMA, but I will say that none of it amounts to the inner teachings. None of it amounts to what you learn within yourself. So what I have learned through giving birth and through going through difficult times in my life is just breathe. Just breathe, because there's so much that's in our breath and that gets caught up and really is actually tangible and we can do something about, but we forget about. So the first breath, that's the first thing we do in this world. The last thing we do in this world is take a breath. So remember, just breathe, count to 10, deep breath. It does so much more than we realize for us. It triggers the vagus nerve. It, you know, has different chemicals and feel good endorphins going to our brain. So just breathing, like, it's the biggest gift that you could just give to yourself.
So before you give your second one, I just want to piggyback on that real quick, because I got the new Samsung watch, and my justification for it was in order to have this watch, I have to hit my step count every day. Like, every day I have to hit the goal, and I have, except for when I got my COVID booster shot and the day after. So,
hey, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, but for a whole month, like, I did it. So I've also been, it's super cool. And this is my little plug for Samsung Health and Samsung Watch. And no, I'm not being paid by them,
but we
need to be. I wouldn't mind it. But this is my unsolicited or unbiased opinion about it. It also has a stress meter on there, and it measures it at least once a day automatically. And then I do it every once in a while when I'm curious. And every time I look at it, it's in the low stress. And then yesterday or the day before, I don't remember what it was. I think it was the day before yesterday. And I was sitting at my desk and I looked at it, and it was in the yellow. And that was the first time I'd ever seen it in the yellow. And I was like, well, wait a second, why is it in the yellow? So I measured it again and it went to the red. And I'm like, oh no, why is it in red? I don't know, right? So then it said, breathe. And I was like, okay, well, I've never pushed this button before. I've always seen the breathe button, but I've never pushed it. So I pushed it, and it had you breathe in and out for 60 seconds, in for 5, out for 5, or something like that. Or maybe it's 6. I don't know. But it had me do it 5 times, and I measured it again and it went to green. And I was like, that is so interesting that does that. I have no idea why in that moment I was yellow and then red, but I went back down to green. And I'm like, it's so interesting.
I love it. You know, we feel like technology is hindering us in a lot of ways. And in a lot of ways, I can say that it has. I'm like, I don't like my daughter on that tablet for 2 hours a day. But think about my group. Think about the fact that we're connecting here and being able to dish on these awesome things that we're talking about, right? And just think about all of these amazing things that have come out of technology that we feel like is kind of a hindrance in a way, but when it does help sometimes, we need to know when to pace it and not.
Everything in moderation, right? Like you can eat too much lettuce. Like you can drink too much water. Water is good for you.
Exactly.
But you can die from drinking too much water. None of us are at risk of that.
Oh no, not here. But that's the thing is like, and there are so many different ways, you know, you talk about Samsung. I love the plug, by the way, but there are little apps, you know, on the phone, free, by the way, you know, you can just look it up, just look up meditation. I think there's like a Calm app. There's a lot of different stuff. I remember like beginning of pandemic, Verizon or someone was giving away the Calm app for free for a year or something. So you have all of these different ways where technology, society is opening up and say, hey, let's help you develop these healthy habits. So, you know, it's like, why not take advantage of that? But just a tip, you know, I always like to give my little tips on stuff. Do what's right for you. Because like I always tell my mamas, it's, you know, it's a very important thing that we are creatures of habit. We need to develop the healthy ones, the right ones that work for us. And really we need to do the things that are most forgiving and important and at the top of our list.
Yeah.
Not at anyone else's. And I think it's important to remember in the holidays too.
Yes. And the habits, to go back to the Samsung app, to go back to my commitment to the step goal, because I committed, you know, the watch was probably a $300 investment. I think I ended up I bought two, one for me and one for my boyfriend. And I think I got one of them free if I had the cell phone lines, and I'm a math person. So I'm like, okay, $10 a month. How much is this actually saving? It didn't matter. It was his Christmas present, whatever, 2 months early. But the point is that I made the commitment to doing the steps. And yesterday, and then here's something that I do is, if I don't have the perfection, right, then I'm like, whatever, it's not, I didn't hit the goal, so now I'm not going to do it. So those 2 days had the potential to really derail me. And I have a very sedentary life. Most of what I do is sitting. And so I'm trying to create these habits to get off my butt because of this step goal. But yesterday, it was 6 o'clock at night and I'd hit 1,000 steps, and my step goal is 7,000 right now. I'm working my way up to 10. That's 6,000 steps that I have to do before I go to bed, and I try to go to bed at 9. And I almost gave up because I already had 2 days where I missed my perfection. I'm only at a 1 day streak right now. And I wanted to give up, but I had made that commitment. And that commitment kept me going. And I wasn't done working for the day. So that was the hardest part, because usually I just go for a walk and I can hit 6,000 steps pretty easy going for a 45 minute walk, but I didn't have the time, and it's cold outside. I didn't want to. So I had to walk those 6,000 steps in between doing my work. So I was doing 25 minute Pomodoro, 5 minute break, and I would get my 500 steps in those 5 minutes. And then I go back to Pomodoro and I'm like, I love this. I'm going to keep doing this. So that's what I'm going to start doing as soon as we're done, is I have work today and I'm going to go back to the Pomodoro.
And studies actually show that that is very, very healthy. Yeah. The sedentary and then getting up, because when we're sitting down for hours and hours, extended amounts of time, our hips get extremely tight. And that's where we find that, you know, modern man, well, that's where we find that modern man, you know, has kind of hindered us in a lot of ways, you know, with these higher chairs, with our hips up off the ground. So, you know, we just start to make the daily commitments. You are exactly right. You start to make the daily commitment to get up once a day. You miss it one day, it's okay. You get back to it the next day. Or maybe you skip a whole weekend. You know why? You deserve it. So you go back to it again on Monday, whatever it is. But then maybe you start to notice these changes in yourself and how they're creating change. And you start to say, oh, I like that. And so I want to do some more. And so maybe you start to move your way down to the floor for a seated position during TV time. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Easiest time to do it, you know, try and work your way into it, you know, work your way into it with a pillow, with blankets, sit on the floor for TV time and just get those loosened hips up. Because why? We're in the holidays right now, the worst time for the hips. We keep the family tension. We keep everything all stuffed up in those hips, right?
That's so interesting. Like that is my problem, is the hip area. Like I, to the point where if I go to a massage therapist, and this is probably the last thing I should be doing, is I tell them, don't touch my hips, because it hurts so much for them to touch it for days later.
You need them to do it. And here's the thing that, you know what? Me way back when I was first doing yoga training, they're like, the position that you get into and then you're in it for a little while and you're like, oh, okay, I'm ready to get out of it. No, you just started that position. You need to sit in it more. We in our everyday society don't realize that we need to give our bodies times. We need extra energy in different spots. The emotions tend to move down to the hips, so we store them there. So start slow. Like you said, healthy habits, it takes 30 days to create a healthy habit. So once you're in a healthy habit for 30 days, you've got it, you've solidified it. And you keep going, and you can make it into 3 months and 6 months and 9 months. And it's important, start slow. Move yourself to a lower chair, move your knees a little closer up into the chest. Try to move down onto the floor with a blanket right underneath your hips, you know, in a folded position, in a seated position. Whatever it is, slowly trying to open up the hips, because slow and steady wins the race. Rome was never built in a day. So we forget. We take time, you know. We see all these great things in the media, and we're really good at doing it, you know. We pay people lots of money to trick them into different things, but really everything is a process. And so remember, give ourselves grace.
Yeah. And I totally derailed you. Tip number two?
So tip number two is, don't take yourself so seriously. Like, my father's, you know, 50 years old, and which is pretty young. I'm like, you had me pretty young. my father's 50 years old, and he's like, shit, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to decide to get remarried, which he said he would never do. You know, I'm going to do all these things that I never said I would do. Why? Because he got diagnosed with diabetes. Don't wait for that. Yeah. Just do it. And the thing is, it's okay if you don't get it done right now. It's always going to be there. But of course, like I said, take it easy. Don't take your life too seriously. And really do what you need to do in life. Just get it done and do you. Because at the end of the day, the only one who's ever going to judge you is you. The only one who's ever going to die with you, like with you, is you. Yeah. So you need to make yourself happy. And yeah.
Yeah, we spend so much time living our lives for other people instead of for ourselves when we're the ones that we're going to have to live with. Like, I don't talk a lot. I don't think I talk a lot about my first marriage, but I got married when I was 22 to a man that was 16 years older than me. And I knew before the wedding, or there was an opportunity before the wedding to get out of the relationship. And the only reason that I tried so hard to keep that relationship together was because I didn't want to be judged for having another failed relationship.
But you knew your gut.
People always ask on Facebook, what would you tell your younger self? And I always say, don't get married. And I'm talking about that.
And I just got married.
And you know, it's like, he and I were really good friends, and we now are still friends. I wouldn't say good friends. We talk every once in a while, but it's like we connected on a friendship level. But that relationship was never meant to be a forever relationship, but because of trying to please other people and worrying about how other people were going to look at me, it was the only reason that I walked down that aisle, or that I forced the relationship so hard. And it's not worth it. Now, I also believe that everything happens the way it's supposed to happen, because if it was supposed to happen some other way, it would have. Yes. And I haven't totally figured out like the reason for that relationship. I figured out all the reasons for my second marriage, all that stuff, but it was like, that relationship was a piece of the puzzle that led me to where I'm at. Mm-hmm. But if I'm looking at that piece by itself, I can't see the whole picture, you know, but it's part of who I am now. And so I don't wish it away. I wish some of the consequences away. No, I'm just kidding. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so back to you. Is there a book that has been truly impactful for you along your personal development journey?
First of all, one more thing on that.
Yeah.
Girl, you're preaching to the choir. we've all had those times. We've all had those what ifs. And that's why I talk about my father, 50 years old. He's like, F it. I'm going to get remarried. You know, I'm like, you know what, Dad, you go do it. I'm happy for you. Like, because life's too short. And if there is one thing I have learned, is that who are you trying to impress? It better be yourself.
Exactly. If the answer is not yourself, like it's the, your life is yours. Live it for you. Do what you want, because haters are going to hate. That's one of my favorite phrases, because it's true. And to piggyback off of that, someone said to me that no one shining their own light is going to tell you to dim yours.
He proved it.
Right? Now I'm going to shush him.
But you're so right. You're so right.
Thank you for tuning in to Imperfect Mommying. It's time for us to step up and realize that our power is not in trying to shape our children. Our power lies in shaping ourselves into the people we want our children to model themselves after. Don't just do it for your kids. Do it for yourself. When you become a more self-aware, compassionate, and confident person, you and everyone around you benefit. For more information about me and my work, visit alyshalyons.com. That's A-L-Y-S-I-A-L-Y-O-N-S.com. See you next time.